Open up to Matthew 13. We're going to continue the series on authority and power, or power and authority, however you put it. And the reason we're doing this, I mean, there have been some great books and series done by many, many excellent preachers on the subject. You just, the authority of the believer, you know. Dave has some excellent teachings on it. I think Kenneth Hagin has some of the excellent teachings on it. And there's many others that have excellent teachings on it. And I'm going, Lord, why are you having me again? I mean, you know, I think sometimes we'd just be better off just to, you know, for me to sit down, just let's just play Dave's service on this, okay? Because, he blazed the trail. But I said, why again? And he reminded me of this verse in Matthew 13. Now, normally when we teach on the sower sows the word, we normally go to Mark 4. But Mark, for some reason, when he wrote his, he left out one little phrase that to me is so important that Matthew included in his. That's why you need all four Gospels. You need all of the Word of God. Amen? So let's pick it up in Matthew 13:18. This is why he's having us go through this. He says, "Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom." Now, notice how it's phrased there. Not just the word. The word of the kingdom. "And understandeth it not." See, we normally just say that Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Well, he can't really do that if you understand it. See? But notice how he says here, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." And the parable, the illustration in the natural he gave me, because we're talking about authority. I mean, you can understand the word of the kingdom enough to be born again. Amen? You can be born again. But how many know there's a lot of born-again people that don't understand the word of the kingdom when it comes to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues? How many knows there's a lot of people in the kingdom does not even understand that by His stripes you were healed? You know? And with us, because we're pressing into revival, we do not understand yet what He has really given us when it comes to the authority and power that we really have. And so he's having me go through this again. He just gave me a simple illustration. You know, we're all ambassadors. Amen. You know, the word says we're ambassadors for Christ. He has given us his name. We have access to the resources of Christ to get done on planet Earth what needs to be done for his kingdom. Amen. So it's like we have been given, and I know this is a simple analogy, but it's like Christ has set up a bank account. Let's just talk about the financial aspect of it. You know, He wants you to, like, I'll just take Sue and I. Okay, what does he use us? In the beginning, he wanted us to send, now these were cassette tapes for you young people. Just Google it. Anyway. Cassette tape? What? Hey, I could talk about 8-track. I could talk about 4-track. Whoa, I've got a few in here. Okay. But he wanted us to mail these cassette tapes for free around the world and send it all postage paid. And when he told us that, our financial condition was, we were having a Bible study in our home, and this is no exaggeration, I would pray on the inside, please Lord, don't let, you know, I preached like I had $1 million in the bank, but I said on the inside, I'm going, please God, don't let the power company shut the electric off until after everybody leaves. I mean, we had like nothing, you know, in the natural. But yet God is telling us to, you know, send this, all this, produce these tapes and send them for free. And I'm telling you, it was the postage a lot of times, especially if you start sending them to like the Philippines or places in Africa and other places. I mean, it would be expensive, you know, like it'd be like $18 to $20 just the postage to send a 6-tape series then. Thank God. Everyone say, thank God for the internet. And thank God for MP3s. Hallelujah. See? But the point is the money. And I remember having this conversation. It was like, God, have you seen my bank account? And it's, I can't say for sure, but I think I heard him say, have you seen mine? And this is the problem with not understanding. It's like he has given us his name for whatever we need. It's like we had a bank account in his name. And we read it and we, you know, and we preach it. We have a bank account in the name of Jesus. He says, well, good. Then do this. And I'm going, well, I don't have any money. He says, you don't understand the kingdom. Satan keeps stealing this away from you because you understandeth it not. You know? He says, well, just do it. And I'm going, it's such a dichotomy in our mind because we're so naturally minded. We really don't. We have problem understanding the kingdom. And so eventually we just gravitate back to natural thinking and Satan stole it again. Because we didn't change. I think I do not. One thing I do not want to have is for him to replay a movie of my life. Where I walked past the crippled man and left him in the chair because I didn't understand the word of the kingdom. Where I didn't feed the hungry man because I didn't understand the word of the kingdom. We have got to understand this. We've got to grow up and understand it with our. There is a, now this is Dave 101, Dave Roberson 101. There is a place in us where the Holy Spirit communicates with our spiritual mind. And our spiritual mind then communicates to our natural mind. There is a bridge, a crossing right there. So far, in most of our lives, the natural side has been winning. Because it agrees and understands the things of this world. But the Holy Spirit and God's Word have been sent for the express purpose of re-educating that spiritual mind. And its function is to be taught by the Holy Spirit and then little by little transform the natural side to where the natural side, if you'll allow me, bows the knee to the true person you are, the child of God, the heir of God. The one who has been granted authority and power in Jesus' name. Boy, that was said really well. I'm going to listen to that myself later. He's smarter than me, I'll tell you right now. Now, everything in me as a teacher wants to go back and review what we've already taught. We've taught two or three lessons already on this. You might let me just throw you a couple of nuggets to whet your appetite, because you can go back and get them. Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go." Remember that? Matthew 28, near the end of the chapter. All power. Now, in the King James, it's translated power there. But the actual word there, the Greek word, is not dunamis. It's not, that's normally the word, like where we get dynamite. The word dynamite, that's not the word he used. The word he used was exousia, which means authority. I like Bynes' definition of authority the best. Bynes says exousia means the right to exercise power. It is the right to exercise power. The perfect picture again, if you have a megaton bus going down the highway and it's got all this momentum going, and our little daughter Erin, who at the time probably weighed 105 pounds soaking wet, but she was a police officer for the city of Tulsa, when she had on that uniform and the badge and all that authority, if I don't care how big that bus was, how much dynamite power that thing had, when she steps out and blows the whistle, raises her hand and says, stop, that thing better stop. Why? Because she's so big and bad? No. It's because all the authority of the city of Tulsa backs up everything she does. And that bus better stop. Amen? Now see, that's what she had was not dunamis. What she had was exousia. The bus had dunamis. But dunamis, see, here's the power of exousia. This is what you got to get. This is what we have to understand. You have authority over all the dunamis of the enemy. Do you know that's a verse? I've got it on here somewhere, Luke. Yeah, chapter, look at this one. Go to Luke 10, if you haven't already marked this. So I guess I am reviewing a little bit. I don't want to get our mind going down this path again. See, we either have authority over devils or we don't. We either have authority over a sickness or we don't. Now let's get it straight. The Bible is not going to change. It is not going to change. The Word is settled forever. Our job is to understand it and conform to it. And then bow the knee to our King and let Him send us on the mission He has for us. Amen? He didn't give us authority and power to build our kingdom. He gave us authority and power to expand His kingdom. And every one of us has a role to play in that. So the verse is, look at Luke 10, verse 17. No, excuse me, Luke 10, verse 19. It says, "Behold, I give unto..." Now, see, in the King James, you're going to see the word power twice, but it's two different Greek words. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But see, that first word, power, he says, that's exousia. The second one is dunamis. Now, think. Little police officer walks out. You see, you might think of yourself, "Well, I'm just me." Well, Aaron could have said, "I'm only 105 pounds, and that bus weighs megatons." But she understood authority. Can you see this? You step out, you blow the whistle, because you got to have... See, okay, I guess we're leaving the notes. See, Peter says that day that the healing of that lame man, he said, "Why are you looking on me as though it's by my power or even my holiness?" Aaron could have said, our daughter Aaron, "Why are you looking on me as if I'm such a big bad dude?" Or, "Why you look on me and think I don't have any because I'm little?" See? Peter understood. He said, no. It is that name, through faith in that name. He knew his authority wasn't based on him. All authority has been given unto Jesus. And when we go in His name, all of heaven is there to back up your words. Aaron had to have faith in the name of the city of Tulsa. Otherwise, you don't step out in front of the bus. Amen? You better have faith in that name. In that case, it was the name of the city of Tulsa. That uniform and the badge and everything represented the authority, not dunamis, the authority that she had been given. But she understood all the dunamis, all the power of the city of Tulsa was behind that name. And the bus better stop. Then we went on to the centurion. You remember him? The centurion. He said, Jesus said about him, he said, "This man has, I've never met in all my time of men." Now, Jesus' whole public ministry was about 3.5 years. He's saying, "In all my time, everybody I have met, Jew and non-Jew, not even in Israel, I have not found anybody who has faith like this guy." You know, if Jesus said, "This is the greatest faith I've found," I think we ought to study that guy a little bit. And what you find when you study the centurion, he's a Roman soldier who's not a Jew. He's not a descendant of Abraham. He doesn't even have a covenant with God. There's no covenant between the Gentiles at that moment, and God, he's not even a Jew. But he understood something. He says, Lord, you don't even need to come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall. You don't get more affirmative than shall be healed. Now, how did he understand that? He says, because I am a man under authority, and I have men under me. Centurion means 100. It's where we get century from. So he had at least 100 men under him. And he says, when I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. And can I say this? And they don't have any choice in the matter. Because they know that this man, when he speaks, they're not obeying him because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're not obeying him because he's so big and bad. They know that Rome has authorized his words. And I mean, when he says something, if somebody disobeys, somebody tries to disobey what this man says, if Rome has to bring in every soldier from every field of the empire, I mean, if they have to go to Gaul and they have to go to Germany and they have to go and bring every soldier, every one of them, if need be, this man's words shall come to pass. And you don't have a choice in the matter. So when I was praying about that, the Lord says, here's the way the centurion understood authority. When I speak, it is done. That's the understanding that has to come to the church. When you speak, it is done. Now, in his case, he somehow had the revelation. Somehow, I don't know how. Maybe he'd been attending secretly the meetings that Jesus was having. I don't know how he knew, but somehow he knew that in the same way he had authority over those men, Jesus had authority over all sickness. He knew God had granted him that authority. He says, the same way I speak to men and they don't have a choice, they obey what I say. I know, Jesus, if you speak to the sickness, it doesn't have a choice and it'll obey what you say. Amen? Now, my question for years was, well, that's great for him. He could get Jesus to speak it. You're going to have a hard time. How are you going to get Jesus to speak the word today? Jesus himself in his glorified body is not on planet Earth. Jesus himself in his glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, let me say it this way. How are you going to get Jesus to speak the word only when he doesn't have any human lips on planet Earth but yours? How are you going to get him to speak the word only? It's when you begin to speak the word only. But even that won't get her done, as we say in the South. Even that won't get her done if you don't understand the word of the kingdom. You got to understand it and have enough faith like Aaron did to step out in front of the megaton bus. You got to step out in front of cancer and say no. Step out in front of sin and say no. I did a service at the youth conference called The Anointed No. It was a good one. That's your review for today. I recommend those messages to you. There's so much more that I'm not talking about today. Now today go to Luke chapter 4. I still hear pages turning. Most times now, just you hear the sound of fingers on glass, tapping on iPhones and iPods. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. Y'all ever meditate? Has Jesus done anything yet? He just walked in the room. You are light. Darkness knows when you walk in the room. Better start understanding who we are. I'll go ahead and mention this to you. You know, Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they was able to see the glory of the Lord. It's like the Lord was able to pull back that veil of flesh just for a moment. And they could see Jesus for who He really was. And they said it was so bright. It was brighter than the sun. We couldn't even look at it. Well, you do know at that moment He was the only human on planet Earth that had that life of God on the inside of Him. But did you know today you have exactly the same life in you that He had in Him? And if somehow we were on that mountain, God would somehow unzip your flesh or we could see you, did you know you would shine just like that yourself? Darkness knows when you walk in the room. So, Jesus just walks in the room. Verse 34, saying, now I got to, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Now, just meditate for a minute. Every time you walk in a room where there's unclean spirits, people possessed, you may not hear it, but I believe in the spirit they're going, uh-oh. I wonder if this one understands the word of the kingdom. I wonder if this one understands the authority and power that they really have. I wonder if they've come to destroy us. Now they said to him, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. To you they would say, remember? Now this is again review. What did that devil say? Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They tried to cast that devil out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And that devil says, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. Who are you? Because those guys had darkness on the inside of them, just like the devils they wanted to cast out. Now, I can understand that. That's easy. But what's sad today is you actually have people of light walk in the room. And the devils are fearing that we might have come to destroy their works or destroy them. But the ignorance of the people of light, we walk in, we don't understand the kingdom. And the devils have a big sigh of relief. And probably laughing. They don't know who they are. See, the truth of it is you walk in the room. Those devils, if you could hear them, they're going, I know who you are. You're a child of the living God. Now, this is a true story. I would not bring this up if he didn't bring it up. Going back to Aaron. It's a good analogy. Aaron was not a police officer who sat behind a desk. She had her own squad car, her own gun, her own baton, and the little rascal was fearless. There was this one particular big guy that everybody knew, and he was about half nuts. Well, okay, that's not politically correct, is it? He had issues. Yes, thank you. He had issues. Thank you. That's better. He was known. You didn't go, when this guy started acting up, because he was a big guy. And some days he'd be okay, and some days he's not okay. And so everybody knew that if you got a call to that house, you didn't go on your own. You waited till another officer could meet with you, and you'd have backup, in other words, to go. You think Aaron waited on backup? No. She got the call. She was the closest one. She goes right over there, comes busting through the gate. Here's the guy coming out, and he is like huge, this guy. I mean, huge. Stands towering over her and big. This is not a skinny guy. He's a big guy. I would probably nickname him Eclipse, because when he walks in the room, he blocks out the sun. You know, he's a big guy. Anyway, he comes right up to her, towering over her, got right in her face, and the first thing she said was, "You back up." And he did. And then he went like this. Those of you that can't see me, he took his right hand, I think it was his right hand, and took his little pinky and waved it at her kind of like that. And he said, you've read the black book. Did you hear that? Did you think that was him talking? That was something inside of him talking. And they knew that she knew her authority, not only in the natural. This girl had read the black book. "You've read the black book," she said. "That's right. Get in the car." She took him in on her own. She understood authority. Now, dunamis, this guy had dunamis. He was huge, this guy, and she's a little bitty thing. But the whole thing was resolved because she understood authority, not only in the natural, she understood authority in the spirit. Is that a good one? Those devils, can you just see them now? You walk in the room and they go, uh-oh. Uh-oh. They wave their little pinky. Uh-oh. "You've read the black book." Uh-oh, this is a child of God. I know who you are. You're a child of God. What I don't know is, do you understand your authority? Well, you will before this is over. You will before this is over. Okay, Luke 4:33. We're trying to make it through this whole thing here now. "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this?'" Now notice, "For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Now when it said, they did it correctly this time, where it says authority, that is the word exousia. And power. Now this time it has authority and power, dunamis. "He commandeth unclean spirits, and they come out." So, well, that's great for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Sure is nice that he has that authority and power. We'll go over to Luke 9:1 just for a moment. Luke 9 verse 1 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power," that's dunamis, "and authority," exousia, "over" how many devils? "Over all devils, and to cure diseases." Now if he gave it to the 12, and I could take you to the 70, let's talk about the 70. You know that story? It says they 70. They returned with joy. What were they saying? "Lord," you can almost hear the surprise in their own voice. "Lord," it's almost like, "Did you know this? We went out in your name and we've ministered. Lord, did you know? Even the devils are subject unto us in thy name." The authority he gave them. Now, this is on those previous two messages where I broke down that word subject. But it literally means subjugate. Those devils, it's like if you can have a picture. When you walk in the room and you say bow, they bow. They are made subject to you. They do what you say. Remember that one, that time he cast out all those devils out of that madman of Gadara? And the devils were begging him, "Don't, just please, let us go into these swine." And he let them go into the swine. I don't understand totally all of that. Teach on that when I do. But the point is, who was subject to who there? They were begging him. He had total mastery, and so do we. Still part of the review. The seven sons of Sceva. I'm trying to teach more. Seven sons of Sceva, you know they failed. Why did they say it the way they did? "We adjure thee in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." Because if you back up the verses right before that, you'll find out that's in Ephesus where they were bringing the handkerchiefs to Paul. And while he would preach, he would have those handkerchiefs on him. Then they would just take those handkerchiefs, lay them on sick folks, and the sick folks would get healed. And if they had devils, it says, the devils came out. And it was famous. It was well known. This is the result of this Jesus whom Paul preaches. So these vagabond Jews who are trying to make their living, they'd go around pretending to cast out devils, and they would sell magic charms and incantations and do all this stuff. The reason they're vagabond and they go place to place, if they stick around, people have figured out it ain't working. You know, they'd be arrested or something, so they go from place to place. But they saw real power, or at least they heard about what happened when Paul would preach in the name of Jesus. So they go, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." And did that work? Did not work. Paul I know, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. I gave you the definition, the Greek there. You ought to go back and listen to that. What it's really saying is, Jesus I know. We know who He is. We know who Paul is, and that Paul is completely submitted to Jesus. So we have to obey him. But who are you? The name of Jesus is not for us to build our business unless your business has been submitted to God. You understand what I'm saying by that? Okay, that's a whole other lesson. Can't go there. He gave the 12 that authority over devils and over diseases. He gave the 70 that authority over devils and to cure diseases. And in Matthew 28, He gave it to all of us. And also in Mark 16, in my name, those that what? Those that believe. And then we even talked about the guy. Remember they said, "We saw a guy casting out devils in your name and he doesn't follow with us." So we told him to stop. Jesus said, "Well, fix that." No, you... And for we have no record that this... We don't even know the guy's name. We don't know if he was ever called by Jesus. We don't know if Jesus ever laid his hand on him. We don't know anything about the guy. And I think that's on purpose. Because what he was doing was working. And it says he was doing it in the name of Jesus. What's he a type of? Mark 16. Those that believe. I'll tell you one thing about that guy. He was submitted to Jesus. Or it would not have worked. He'd have had the same results as the sons of Sceva. Hallelujah. Let's look at that last part. I've probably had you go away from there now, but go back to Luke 4 just for a moment. Go to verse 36. After he had cast out those devils, verse 36 says, "They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? With authority and power, dunamis, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Now, you're in chapter... Good. Just back up to verse 14. Luke 4:14. Jesus had already been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit had come upon him. We're going to talk about that. That is really, from heaven's point of view, when Jesus is crowned the last man, Adam. We'll teach at length on that again. Most of you have heard me teach it many times before. That's why the Holy Spirit, in the same way that God gave dominion to the first Adam, now He is restoring dominion to the last Adam. Okay? But see, Jesus had to pass the test that the first Adam failed. When the first Adam was tempted, what happened? He fell. So what happens with Jesus? He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, was led out into the wilderness. You can read all of this in the four Gospels. Tempted by the devil. I like how Dave says it. If you think there was only three temptations. Said, that's a summary. That's a summary. He said, the devil came against this man because he knew his only shot. He said, I got the first Adam to fall. This one, we'll get him to fall the same way. Every temptation, physically, emotionally, and even spiritually, if you will bow down and worship me. Everything, I mean, that to jump off the pinnacle, have you ever seen a picture of what that temple was? He's tempting Jesus to commit suicide there and using Scripture to do it. Well, he wouldn't be the first one that done such a thing. Jesus passed the test that the first Adam failed. And now notice, when he returns from that encounter, we're at verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power, and that is the word dunamis. He returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went a fame of him throughout all the region around. Now, you ready? If you write anything down, write this down. Jesus is the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Let me say it a different way. Jesus is the agent of exousia. The Holy Spirit is the agent of dunamis. You got this? He would say things like, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils. Another place he says, if I, by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the dunamis. And he has anointed Jesus of, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. We normally leave that part off. The Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus said, Father, in the same way you sent me, I am sending them. Jesus understood the authority that he had. Jesus understood that when he spoke, it is done. Jesus understood that God, the Holy Ghost, was with him. Remember how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God who? God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost. He returned in the power of the Spirit. But Jesus is the agent of authority. That's why it's worded that way in Matthew 28. All authority, all exousia has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. I had time, this is another time, but he says, this is why it was more expedient that he go. Because unless he goes, that same Holy Spirit could not come to us. But if he goes, then that same Spirit that he was baptized with, that same Spirit we're baptized with, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But you got to be submitted to him. Y'all getting anything out of this? I'm going to read some notes here. Jesus is the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Now get this though. In his name, in the name of Jesus, we are the agents of authority. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Now notice the faith of the centurion. He knew that when Jesus spoke, it was done. The power of the Holy Spirit backed up the authority in Jesus' words. It is the same with us. In His name, we command, and the Holy Spirit enforces. You got that? Well, we think we do, until it's time to step out in front of the bus. One time when I was trying to understand this in the early days, I said, Lord, that authority only works for law-abiding buses. And the devil is not a liar. He doesn't drive a law-abiding bus. He says, no, you don't understand my authority. He says, the Holy Spirit will vaporize that bus before it runs over you. That bus has no choice. Those devils have no choice if you understand who you are and the authority you have in His name. See, God wasn't lying to Sue and I that whole time. It looked like, for many of the years that we did that, send out those cassette tapes for free, it sure looked like this. We didn't actually say this, but this attitude develops in your heart because it was day by day, looked like, oh God, you know. And so you have this little, okay, we go to bed at night, and love you, baby, I love you too. Now, we didn't actually say this, but it was like, we did not die today. Surely we will die tomorrow. I mean, if you're going to go by what it looks like, that's the way it looked. And it looked that way for years. But we did what He said. We sent those cassette tapes by the thousands. One time I got a call from a friend that I know in India. Bangalore? Yeah, Bangalore. And he says, Gary, the funniest thing happened. He said, my own brother who lives in, you know, a few miles away, he comes in one day with some cassette tapes in his hand in Bangalore. Gary Carpenter, by the way, has never been to Bangalore. I mean, I just know it's there because it's on the map, okay, in India. But he comes in asking me questions. He's got this album of cassette tapes in his hand, and he's going, I got these free from a preacher in America. He says, I know you go to America sometimes. Have you ever heard of this guy? My friend took the tapes and he went, Gary Carpenter? Yeah, he's a friend of mine. I've got his phone number. He goes to the prayer center. Pastor Dave Roberson is his pastor. So he called me to tell me about it. He says, what are the odds, Gary, that my own brother in Bangalore, India, would receive free tapes from you? I said, they're pretty high. We send them by the thousands. By the thousands all over the world. And it always, nearly always, during that whole time, if you're going to go by the natural, this won't work. We can't do it. Nope, can't do it. Nope, that's it. But we did do it. Thank God for the internet. Anyway. Okay. Why is Jesus the agent of authority? There are several reasons. We're going to look at this one today. Go to Matthew 21. In all my life, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody really preach on this passage except a few little standard things. I'm sure people have. I just haven't heard it. What I'm telling you is I get this. This one, as far as I'm concerned, I got it from the Holy Ghost, and I don't know if anybody else ever got it or not. I thank God for everything. Dave, you'll like this. I got an email from a friend of yours and mine in Florida. He's in Florida. He says, Gary, he says, have you ever felt like you've hacked through the jungle with a machete for days and weeks and months, and you're sweating and working, and you got this machete and you're hacking away, and you're trying to get to a certain place, and you're going through this thick jungle, and you finally get to the clearing you've been trying to get to the whole time. You finally get in there. And then you see a paved highway that says, paved by Dave Roberson in 1992. Said, I could have just got on the highway that Dave already laid and walked in there. But no, I had to go hacking away. It happens to me all the time, you know. Well, Dave, let me share my latest revelation. Alan's nodding his head. It happens. Dave, because to us it's just hot off the wire. So I'm going to go, and he's always real nice. He'll just let you go, hamina, hamina, hamina. Dave, and then hamina, 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 and he'll pat you on the back. That's real good, Gary. That's real good. In a little while, he'll say, now, you remember about 15 years ago? And then he'll remind me, and I go, oh, that is on the Bardigan Trail or whatever it was, you know. Thank God for Pastor Dave. Matthew 21, and we're going to start in verse 23. When he, Jesus, was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority, and that's the right word, that's exousia, by what authority doest thou these things? Now, you know what he did, right? That's when he would come in and overturn the tables of the money changers, and you know, my father's house is to be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. They're going, who gave you authority to do these things? Verse 24, Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in the likewise will tell you by what authority, and that's exousia, I do these things. So then he asked them this question. The baptism of John, talking about John the Baptist. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, well, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, then why did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority, exousia, I do these things. Now, see, Jesus is asking them. The ministry of John. Everybody knew. John the Baptist was famous. You can tell that reading the four Gospels. John the Baptist, his ministry touched many, many people. He's asking him. The ministry of John, his baptism, his preaching, and his prophecies, his ministry. Was it from God or not? See, now, if it was from God, John the Baptist had plainly declared, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist made it very clear, that's the Messiah right there. And he pointed him out. You remember when the disciples started following, and they'd go and they went and got Peter and said, we have found the Messiah. They understood the message of John the Baptist, what he was saying. We have found the Messiah. So he's asking them, the ministry of John the Baptist, he declared, I was the Lamb of God. He was declaring, I am the Messiah. Was his message from God or from men? And if they answer, well, it's of God, then why did you not believe him when he said, I am the Messiah? Because they would know right away, as the Messiah, he has full authority to do anything in that temple or anything from God. He is the Messiah. That's what he's asking them. So let me read it the way I wrote it here. If it was from God, and John the Baptist had plainly declared Jesus to be the Messiah by saying he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, if he was the Messiah, then of course he has authority from God to do all that he is doing in the temple. Jesus did what he did because of the authority he has of being the Messiah. That's one reason why he's the agent of authority. Now this is why we go forth in his name. He is the Messiah. Now get it straight. You are not. He is the Messiah. But he has all authority. He's the one. In his name means we go forth as his ambassadors. We have been empowered and authorized to do kingdom business. His kingdom, never our kingdom. The power is a delegated authority in his name. Now, let's pretend. Lily used to ask me when she was younger, Papa, can you pretend? She asked me one time, we're sitting out on the back porch, Papa, can you see the lion in that tree? We're in Oklahoma. Can you see the lion in that tree? I said, no, honey, I don't see no lion in that tree. Papa, can you pretend? Oh, I see him now. Let's pretend. Let's try and understand the word of the kingdom. Jesus is saying, I want you. We've got Bo Moffat sitting right here. And since he was brave enough to sit on the front row, I'm going to just do all I can to embarrass him big time. Because I love the man like a brother, like a father, I guess. And we're more like brothers. Anyway, if you don't know, Bo Moffat was dean of the men's at Rhema for years, right? And so let's say Bo Moffat commissions me. Let's say, this is okay. I'm going to pretend like Bo Moffat is a multi billionaire. That's not hard to imagine, is it, Bo? Seems pretty right, okay? And so he commissions me, though, as an agent in Bo Moffat's name to set up a satellite business in another country. And Bo Moffat, he gives me credentials. He gives me, a debit card, maybe. He gives me a power of attorney. I am fully equipped to go forth in the name of Bo Moffat to set up Bo Moffat business in Zama country. And I go to the country, and I get there, and there's no Bo Moffat business being done. And so I telephone Bo Moffat. I say, Bo, I got here, and I just want you to know there's nothing happening. He says, I know. That's why I sent you there. He says, start setting things up. And I go to sleep that night, and I'm thinking about what he said. Now, he said, you know, he gave me this plastic piece of card. He gave me this, you know. And a week goes by, and I haven't done anything. You know, I telephoned him up, said, no. Or maybe he telephones me this time, you know. The master of the house checking. You know, not when the master of the house will check. Anyway. He said, so how's my kingdom, how's my Bo Moffat kingdom coming? My business, Bo Moffat business happening in Zama country where you are. There's nothing happening at all. Now, this is me on my end. I'm going, I don't know why you're not doing anything. Why is no Mr. Bo Moffat, why are you not doing anything to cause your business to be accomplished here? And he would probably pull the receiver away from me. Probably look at it. This is the guy I hired. This guy's... Well, anyway. I sent you there in my name for you to accomplish Bo Moffat business there like I'm doing it here. See, thy kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anyway, well, I said, well, I don't have any money. He said, well, I want you to distribute pamphlets all over that place where you are and tell them about my business. I don't have any money. I ain't got no money. He said, well, did you set up that bank account? Didn't I give you a debit card? Yeah. Well, didn't you go to the bank and use it? You mean I actually have authority? You meant it? I can use your money to accomplish your business here? Oh. You see the debit card you have? Hold up your right hand. You have the debit card. You know what it is? It's name. Look on it. There's a name. It says faith. It's also 2 Corinthians 8, 9, right on the bottom. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. I don't want to quote it. Don't want to get it. Take a chance. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Yep. Somebody's quoting it. I think Dirk's quoting it for me back there. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Jesus already took all your poverty, same way he took all your sin, same way he took all your sickness, all your pain. He took it all. See, we have read these things, we have talked these things, but it's pretty obvious to me we haven't walked in these things, not to the degree he wants us to. That analogy is pretty good, isn't it? That Bo Moffat thing. And we keep going, God, or let's say, Bo, why aren't you doing anything? Look at all these problems we have here. Bo, why aren't you doing anything? But he sent us to accomplish Bo Moffat Enterprise. Now, there's one other thing that I... Let's see, where's that? You're big enough, sir. I need a big guy. Come here. Oh, yeah. This will work. Now, see, do y'all know what the name Paraclete is? Paraclete, the Holy Ghost. It's the Greek word for Holy Spirit. Paraclete, one of them. That's one called alongside to help. See, that's one thing to believe God for finances. But now he has sent us on... Okay, I'm going to quit using Bo here for a minute. Jesus has sent us. We are on the... He said, Father, as you have sent me, I have sent them. The same Holy Spirit, this big guy here, that anointed Jesus of Nazareth with that power, that dunamis power, he is in us and he is with us. And we could say, Jesus, why aren't you healing so and so? Why aren't you doing anything, Jesus? And he would say to us, that big fella with you? He would say to Gary, Gary, you're the agent of authority. I sent you in my name. You have authority. All of heaven, all the Holy Ghost himself, God the Holy Ghost is with you. Gary, if you'll ever get this, in the name of Jesus, Gary, when you speak, hold your hands out, it is done. When you speak, you're the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit's not the agent of authority. Remember, all the way back to Genesis again. Now, who was it hovering over the darkness and the deep? It was the Holy Ghost that was there. He's the one with power to make light. There wasn't any light. God the Father wanted light. God the Holy Ghost is as much God as God the Father, God the Son. So he knew the Father wanted light the same instant that the Father wanted light. And he has the power to do it. See that power? He has the power to make light, but he's not doing anything. Because the agent of authority had not yet spoken. And that is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him, was not anything made without him that was made, not one single thing. The Holy Spirit was waiting for the spoken Word. And when he finally heard, light be, light was. You got that? We don't. Yes, sir. Thank you. No, stay right here. Just when I start. Okay, I'm trying to close. I'm trying to be nice. When I started at the really praying at the ugly building and had all that time, one of the very first assignments that I heard back said, Gary, this is paramount. This is more important than anything else. Focus on this. He says, you must become aware that the Holy Spirit is always with you. You must become aware of that. So let's walk. Everywhere we go, everywhere you go, Gary. Group Walmart, taking Lily to school, going to visit my mama. How about going to the hospital? How about going to the orphanage? The Holy Spirit is with me. We are the agents of authority in his name. And we always have. He said he will never leave you. Not on your worst day. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Thank you. Did y'all get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, previews of coming attractions. Today we talked about one of the reasons why Jesus is the agent of authority. Number one, the one we talked about today, He is the Messiah. Second, another reason, He is the second man, the last Adam. He has been granted all the dominion and more. See, as far as I can tell, Adam never had authority in heaven. He had authority on earth. But Jesus says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. You get this? And then one more. Jesus, now this is deep, calleth unto deep. You better grab a hold of your seat. The third reason why He is the agent of authority, He is the King of the kingdom. He is the King of the kingdom. Hallelujah.